Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. I can't find you in the crowds at Ryder Cup, Whistling Straits. Everybody seems to be there. It is a beautiful Saturday. Looks like it's kind of windy and a little chilly there. Somebody said it was 40 degrees or a little bit above that in the morning. Not going to be that here in Hawaii. It's about 58, volcano, and we're going to have a mostly sunny sky on the south side, partly sunny, generally speaking, with scattered showers windward and Mauka. Maybe a little rain on the leeward side, too. The high today is going to be 89, but we do have the winds out of the east, 15 to 20 miles per hour. You'd like to go out and play a round of golf? There's an 8:30 at Makalei. Hey, there's a movie star on the course today at Poipu Bay. They have a 10:20. Sold out at Pearl Country Club. No kidding. Always is. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 9:20. Bayview has an 8:40. Makaha East, an 11:54. That's it. They're doing really good at Makaha East. Wailea Gold has a 12:30. So does the Emerald. And there's a shotgun tournament for Seabury Hall. That's going on the blue course. And thank you to Wailea for always doing such great things and hosting all these tournaments. Matt Janella is going to be with us today, co-creator of FirePitCollective.com. He's over at Pure Insurance Championship First Tee, and he played with Dean Wilson yesterday. So fun. We're going to talk with him. Michael Patrick Shields, award-winning host of Michigan's Big Show, travel writer. He played Whistling Straits several times in the last few months. Larry Olmsted was with him. Ron Green, senior writer, Global Golf Post. He's at Ryder Cup. He's in the midst of the madness. Marvel Barnard, national president of LPGA Professionals, director of instruction at Haven Golf Course in Green Valley, Arizona. I'm so excited to talk with her. And Robert Dameron, PGA Tour champion, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel. He's with us too. Now, the show is always on 101.1 in Hawaii, FM, of course, on the radio, streaming live, though, around the world on your devices. So just go to radiogolfclub.com/listen, and you'll be able to hear the show streaming live on your device, or it's also podcast there. We'll be back with Robert Dameron after this.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store, and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Robert Dameron, on-air analyst, Golf Channel, winner on the PGA Tour, and he got some early advice from Arnold Palmer. Robert Dameron, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks, Danielle. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Nice.
I see some kind of a trend developing here. Three to the USA team yesterday and one to the Europeans. We seem to have the same thing today. Three to the U.S. team and one to the Europeans, at least in the morning. What's going on, Robert? What do you see?
It's getting ugly out there. It really is. And the spirit that the Europeans usually bring, and they're almost always on paper the underdogs, just because we have youth, world rankings, you know, on our side. The depth is usually on our side, yet we tend to lose it quite a bit. But this one is finally playing out the way that it should on paper, because just the spirit, the fire outside of Sergio and Rahm is not there. I mean, you look at Poulter was pretty much an empty saddle with Rory yesterday. Rory sat for the first time ever. Because he played so poorly yesterday, but two guys you really need. And then, you know, Westwood and Casey, stole the team. The guys that have been around forever, neither of them could really make a putt or get anything going. So You know, at the end of the day, it's just who gets the ball in the hole faster, but we know that Ryder Cup is something different, and right now it's doing some kind of tear.
Yeah, no kidding. We're having a little bit of a hard time keeping you. You kind of go in and out. If you could just keep your phone right to your mouth, that might help. What I do want to talk about, you know, I mean, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton, normally really strong players, of course, Rory, but Tyrrell was coming on really strong and then sort of lost his game. Is it possible for somebody to say, I suppose it is, maybe, hey, Captain, I don't think I should be playing. Pick somebody else.
I would be shocked. I don't care if you're playing terribly. You want to at least be out there. They're all competitors, you know. They're all great players, and they're always one swing away from turning it around. So, no, I don't think anyone's going to do that. But let's be frank, it's probably happened sometime in the past. I'm just playing so bad, I need to step out. And you're right about Hatton. Hatton's hitting all the wrong shots at the wrong time. He's on paper the best putter on that team, and he hasn't been able to make any putts either. So, and his attitude is kind of shot. You can see, you know, when he phones it in, you can see it. He wears it, his heart on his sleeve, and you can just tell when he's not feeling it, and he is certainly not feeling it this week.
Yeah, and I can feel the stress from Rom too. I mean, he's the only one that's, you know, number one in the world, riding on him to perform, to produce. But if you don't have the crowd with you, do you think that's holding him back?
It's got to hurt. You know, there's so few Europeans. I've never seen a Ryder Cup without the ole, ole, ole chance.
And yeah.
There's been none of that this week. It has to hurt, but I don't think it matters this week. I think the U.S. is just playing too good. When you look at, I think your weakest team is the way, at least in form-wise, has been DJ and Morikawa. And how, I mean, that team's unbelievably good.
Yeah.
And form-wise, they've been struggling the last, month and a half. You know, if that's your weakest link on the team, you have just got one heck of a team, and it's just not going to be denied this week, I think, from the U.S. Again, they have all the passion, all the heart, all the cheering. Even Cantlay was fist-pumping and cheering out there, so it just looks like a slaughter out there right now. And frankly, as much as I love the Ryder Cup, it's kind of the nightmare, and I want to see U.S. win. It's kind of the nightmare scenario. I'd love to see Europeans at least, I mean, they probably need to sweep this afternoon to make Sunday really interesting and questionable, but that's a big, big task.
Yeah, and that's the reason I'm starting with them, is because it's like, come on, this is supposed to be a contest, not a walk in the park, and it normally is, so I'm looking for the whys, and you know, as you say, the U.S. team is simply on top. They are the best, and they're gelling as a team. What do you think brought them all together in such a good way?
Well, I would like to say the captain, but frankly, you know, the team that they've got right now with Phil, even Phil's the new assistant captain, but Furyk and Zach and Couples and Davis, this has been the squad for the last few Ryder Cups / President's Cups. You know, they're used to playing under these guys. Whoever's the actual captain hasn't been a lot of difference. It's kind of been the same crew every time, so I don't think it's the captain. I think, frankly, they're just sick of getting their butts beat so many times. And eventually, the sleeping dog was going to get kicked too many times and wake up and bite.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and finally deciding that, hey, you know, we can gel as a team. We can be friends. We can work together. Tiger Woods sent them a text. And there was a lot of talk about that being a really, inspiring moment for the team.
I believe it has to be. There's no way it isn't. But I also think, you know, it's Ryder Cup week. It's the most intense week of the 2 years. It's the most intense week these guys ever play, even more than a major, outside of maybe, you know, leading on the back nine. So it was just kind of bound to happen. The Tiger Woods text. Sure, that's great and everything, but I don't think it was necessary. I think that they were fired up plenty, and like I said, had just had enough of these guys handing it to him and watching Poulter run around beating his chest. They wanted to beat on him a little bit, not let him beat on him, on his own chest this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I love watching is the guys are always asked, you know, have you ever experienced anything like this? And to a man who's a rookie, and we've got six of them, they're all saying, no, there really is nothing like this. And you can speak to that.
Well, I've never played on a Ryder Cup team or a President's Cup team, but I've absolutely watched it enough. I've talked to them enough. I know exactly what's going on, you know, with them on the first tee, that's the most nervous they've ever been. And the reason, I think part of the big reason, is this is an individual sport. We're not used to playing for someone else or for your country. You're playing just for you. And if you win or lose or draw, it's on you. You did it. But this, you know, when you stand over a 4 or 5 footer, it's not just you that's going to miss or make it. It's your whole team. It's the team, your partner in that individual match, the whole team, and what seems like the whole country. So that's what the Europeans have embraced and done so well with over the years. But it's, again, it is looking ugly yeah. this week. I'm hoping, just fingers crossed that we can have some kind of excitement on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, and just have a game. Let's Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth had an amazing shot. And it was kind of worrying, frankly. I'm not sure which hole he was on, but I was just taken by the angle of ascent that he had to hit that ball to get it up.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
The angle of the ascent was the exact same as the angle of descent. It pretty much went straight up and straight back down, and it had as much hang time as like a Bryson DeChambeau drive. So it was one of those that is so steep uphill that you know the harder you hit it, it is not going to go any further. It's only going to go higher. So as hard as he wants to hit it, he can't advance it past the hole. He can just send it straight up. So you might as well not get cute and not let that rough, kind of grab your club. Go ahead and hit it full speed, everything you've got. And also it's kind of sexy. It gives the fans something to cheer about. And then, you know, almost running into Lake Michigan made it even that much better.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm imagining that, you know, his balance would have required him to go backwards quickly just to stay standing, right? Another incredible moment was Bryson DeChambeau's, the par 5, 417 yards.
It's frightening. It is frightening. It really is. And, you know, he won Bay Hill this year. I'm actually sitting on my golf cart out on the golf course right now, just kind of getting out of the house and soaking up a little sun. But every time I play, I look at number 6 where he drove it in front of the green on the par 5, and I'm like, that just can't be done. I can sit there from, you know, the time I was a little boy till now and try every day, every time, and I would never be able to do it. It's just an unbelievable angle. And as a matter of fact, I was doing on course for PGA Tour Live. Bryson was going to play in the afternoon. I think it was on Friday. And the group I was following, and I can't remember exactly who they were all talking about, oh boy, the wind is blowing the right direction. Bryson said he's going to drive it. I wonder what he's going to do. I've never heard other pro golfers talk about what another golfer is going to do on a given hole. They just don't care, frankly, especially on a Friday. They're just trying to take care of their business and get in position, but they couldn't wait to see, just like the rest of us, what Bryson was going to do. So he's definitely become, you know, even with his faults, which he has a few, of course, but he's become the most fun player to watch right now on tour. It's just so unbelievably exciting. And like I said, how many times does another professional golfer get excited to see what another player does, their opponents does? It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't happen. And when you talk about, I saw him. He smiled at the camera. It was kind of like he just turned and smiled and turned back again. And there's a part of him you have to remember, and I have to remember that he is a nerd.
Yes. Yeah.
And so he's almost socially inept. So there's a part of him that just doesn't know how to be natural. I was watching Patrick Cantlay, as you mentioned, you know, he's fist pumping. We didn't see any emotion when he went six holes against DeChambeau in the playoff, and he was just, you know, steadfast in his movements and judging this and judging that, and just maybe a little bit of a something with the fist, maybe little on the side of it. Was, and here he is, he's smiling. He's talking about how great it is to be playing. It's really something. This is. I really hope the Europeans can get it together.
I do too. And I'm reminded of David Duvall in '99 when he was fist pumping and holding his hand to his ear, like telling everybody to cheer. He was very stoic, just like Cantlay. So it just shows you the meaning, what it means. These guys are playing for no money, but this is what it means, you know, to get them excited and to really want something so bad that they almost, frankly, become someone they're not. So it's just fantastic. And even Bryson, like you said, was getting into it, and he's a little, socially awkward. he's not the Seve or Arnold Palmer charismatic guy out there. He's just different. And he does things different, but he's still exciting to watch with his clubs, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I met him, he was much younger. He was at Sony. He was a charming, charming person, you know, in a very quiet way, kind of withheld, but nice, and asked me how I am. Just a much smaller person. I'm sure I would be stunned to see him now. Let me ask you about this. I did not understand what he meant, but I have an idea, and I thought you could maybe explain this better. Xander Schauffele said it was great to be playing on the same team with Dustin Johnson when Dustin is free rolling, that it isn't fun playing against Dustin when he's free rolling. What does free rolling mean?
Putting.
Oh.
Okay. Just putting. He's not tight with the putter. He's seeing the lines and making good strokes. Because when Dustin's off, that's kind of what goes off typically, is the putter. If he has an Achilles heel, that's it. But the ball is rolling, and when a great player like Dustin is doing something well, it seems effortless. It seems like they're not trying. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Just go through their routine, hit the putt, go get it out of the hole, move on. And that's what Xander means by free rolling. He's not putting that extra. You know, he and his brother, Austin, can at times be the fastest player everywhere else in the course and then the slowest player on the green because they're grinding so hard with the read and trying to make it right. But there's no grinding this week. He's just going about it. He sees his lines and like Xander said, just free rolling it.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
Going 3-0 too so far.
And going 3-0. It's really something. Now, of all the players on the U.S. team, who is surprising you the most in the way they're playing?
Well, I would say Cantlay in the way he's acting, but I'm certainly not surprised the way he's playing. That was absolutely to be, expected. He was just been a juggernaut the last few weeks. I'm going to say Justin Thomas. He's been kind of struggling, but he's playing well now with his enthusiasm. He's winning by getting the crowd into it, by getting his partners involved, and almost just like willing good shots at the right time, because he hasn't been playing his best, and he hasn't been putting as well as he normally does this season, or definitely since he won the Players. So I would say those two, or that guy, but I'm looking up and down the list. I mean, I think everybody's doing about what you expect of them. Berger hit a few funny shots earlier today, but again, everybody's doing their job and doing it well.
Yeah, and I was thinking Justin Thomas, because I noticed he got a little testy, and I don't usually see that in Justin Thomas. You know, he seemed to be getting angry. I don't know whether it was at himself or the situation. What do you think of the crowd? I heard, some people were making inappropriate comments in backswings and what have you. Have you heard anything?
Not specifically, especially not in backswing. Now, in backswing, that's forbidden. You know you're not supposed to do that. But I'm going to be different than most other people and say, that's fine. It's Ryder Cup week. Let them say what they want. Let them act the way they want. And almost embrace it. I always say, we're a little spoiled as golfers. You saw Bryson at the Tour Championship. You know, the Tour came out and said, if you call him Brooksy, you're going to get kicked out. But I also think, you know, if you're an outfielder in a baseball game and you play MLB and you're at an away game and you're an outfielder, you have to sit there in the outfield and listen to way worse than any golfer's going to get it. And you hear it every game you ever play. So maybe we need to just toughen up and take it a little bit. I know it's more of a gentlemanly sport, I guess, for lack of a better term, but this is Ryder Cup. It's different. It's, you know, it started in 91 with the war at the shore, and war is ugly. And so sometimes it's just going to get ugly.
Yes, you're right. We are a very polite. We're supposed to be polite.
Yeah, overall, yeah.
But not during Ryder Cup.
2 years?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right, exactly. Robert Dameron, on-air analyst, Golf Channel. It's always fun talking with you. Thank you very, very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Good to talk to you.
Aloha. Marvel Barnard, National President of LPGA Professionals, and she's a dual member, Ladies Professional Golf Association, the LPGA, and PGA of America, and Director of Instruction at Haven Golf Course in Green Valley, Arizona, and she'll be with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Well, on the LPGA they're playing, as well as on the Symetra Tour, Anasa Hataoka is 12 under. She's on 16 already, and the leaders haven't teed off. Catherine Kirk, Yunhee Ji, they're about to tee off soon, in the next couple of minutes. Jennifer Kupcho is doing well, too. She's also on 16 at 9 under. It's wonderful how many young women are in the game coming up through the Symetra Tour. Marvel Barnard, National President of LPGA Professionals. She's also PGA National Player Development Award recipient, LPGA National Teacher of the Year, LPGA Top 50 Best Teachers, Golf Digest 50 Best Women Teachers. Welcome into the clubhouse, Marvel.
Thank you so much, Danielle. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's good to have you here. Is it possible for you to talk on speaker rather than speakerphone? Can you do that? Because then you'll come.
Yes.
You'll come.
Yes. Hold on.
It will be so much easier to hear you. Marvel, we met a long time ago. Not a long time ago. God, we're not that ancient. But we. And I love your energy. I love everything that you bring to the game. And knowing how much you travel and all the things you do as the national president of the LPGA Professionals, I'm just amazed. And you're going for it again.
Yes. Can you hear me better this time?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, no, people ask me this all the time.
how do you do it all? And it's like, well, you just do, you know, you eat while you're on a layover and you eat while you're doing degree. I'm almost done. And it's like, you just get it done. You put one foot in front of the other and you get it done.
Yeah. You don't ask the question. You just keep on moving forward.
Exactly.
I totally understand. You were in a pro-am, a virtual pro-am. You were doing five of them. Is this how you were fundraising? Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So this was kind of a thing born out of necessity, you know, with things being canceled during the pandemic. Last year, we were scheduled to have our LPGA National Pro-Am, where our members bring in a team and we play somewhere fabulous. And in fact, we were scheduled to play in Hawaii. And unfortunately, things just really lit up right before that. So we had to cancel. And one of our members who was set to bring a team called me and she said, you know, why don't we do this virtually? Why don't we play at our home course and send in our scorecards and we can still have a friendly competition. We can still get together with our members. And that's where this idea came from. So we took that forward. It started with the LPGA professionals and then it went over to the LPGA amateurs, which is the third arm of the LPGA. You know, we have the tour and then the professionals who are the teaching arm and then we have our amateurs. And we raised almost $60,000 last year for charities. And this year we're on track. We're doing really well again this year. And one of our charities is the LPGA Renee Powell Grant Fund, which, you know, just a wonderful initiative to help people bring lesser representative members into the game of golf. So it's going so well. I had three teams, played 3 days in a row, and we just had a wonderful time.
It was fun trying to figure out a good date for Marvel. Oh, no, I'm flying here. No, I'm going to be there. And, you know, fortunately, it all worked out for us. Way back when, RNA said $35 billion could be generated for golf if we could attract the 35 million women and girls interested in the sport to take it up. Have we accomplished? I don't know that we spent $35 billion, or rather how much we spent to do all of this, but $35 billion is a big number to bring in if women and girls get interested. Has the number increased?
The numbers are getting better, and the fastest growing segment in golf right now is young women, girls. The USGA LPGA Girls Golf Program is a rapidly growing initiative. You know, they started a while back, and at last count, we had over 90,000 girls. And, you know, that, of course, we have tons of opportunity there, tons of opportunity in the women's game. And that's what I'm passionate about. You know, Danielle, you and I have talked, and I didn't take up golf till I was almost 40, and, you know, it was daunting. It's intimidating. You walk onto a golf course, and you feel like everyone knows everything except you and what's up with the shoes and all of that. And so when I became a golf instructor, it is my passion to bring women and girls into the game, make sure they're comfortable and that they get what they came for. It's so social, you know, for women, and there's the competitive aspect as well, but there's something for everybody in the game. And so that's my big passion. And yes, we are growing. And especially with these last few years where the interest in golf has really ramped up. And so it's our challenge now to keep those people in the game, keep those women and girls in the game and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, I saw some percentage of drop since things have opened up and everybody has choices. When no one had any choice, everyone flocked to golf. And how do we keep them?
Well, you make it interesting and fun. You know, we who play the game know all the possibilities and that golf is about so much more than just golf. So what I've done in my area, a couple of years ago, I was asked to help coach the local high school team to be their swing coach. And I hadn't really been involved with junior golf much. I'm in a retirement area, so my focus was not on juniors, but this coach was just so, made such a great case for coming aboard and helping out. And so I started helping the girls and it was so much fun. and you can see so many possibilities with them and in learning about life. And then I enlisted our ladies leagues and our ladies groups at several golf courses locally. And we held a big fundraiser, and in 3 hours we raised over $10,000 for this team so that they could have equipment and gloves and clubs and shoes and things that they didn't have and that the school can't afford to provide. So out of that grew this idea that, wow, you know, you can engage entire communities, not only in just the growth of the game, but in the growth of people. So, you know, because I recognize it is so social for women, you bring in a group of women and you pair them up, and pretty soon they have a friend, and then they have three other friends, and they go play, and pretty soon they're traveling with their husbands. And, you know, it's just a growth potential that I think is still somewhat untapped. And that's how we keep them in the game. We make sure they're comfortable there and that they're getting what they came for. I don't want anybody standing alone and feeling stupid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the number one request of women. I just don't want to feel stupid, and I don't want to feel alone. So I ensure that that doesn't happen.
Here in Hawaii, before it became the LPGA Amateur Golf Association, a group of five women, and I was one of them, we founded our local chapter of what was then the EWGA, then became the LPGA Amateur Golf Association. And that is really, you know, bringing women in, and they don't know what to do, and I don't know what to bring, and where do I find clubs, and what if I don't like this game? I don't want to really spend a lot of money. You know, you can help answer those questions. Well, you don't need a full set of clubs. You can go over to Roots and Relics and you can pick up a driver, a putter, a 7-iron, and start with that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, all those things, you know, women who, and I so vividly remember that, of being intimidated to walk onto a golf course. My husband unfortunately doesn't golf, and so when we travel, every so often I go play by myself, and it's still intimidating to walk onto a golf course not knowing anyone, and your experience is shaped by the reception you receive. You know, if someone welcomes you and says, wow, we're glad to have you, here's where this is, and here's where that is, and, you know, here's the scorecard. It's so simple to make people feel welcome.
Marvel, don't they all recognize you?
Well,
that's the national president
better,
of the LPGA.
And I don't make announcements when I walk in. So.
But that's good.
I do let them know eventually I am kind of a big deal. So, you know, no, not really.
That's what I love about you. I do let them know that I'm kind of a big deal. Not really. Yes. So we're moving forward, and that's very cool. I like your Golf 101 Lessons for Beginners. And it seems really affordable for a 6-week session.
Yes, absolutely. And I've combined that recently with Operation 36. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Operation 36 was started by two PGA professionals who wanted to get people out on the course in an easy way to learn the game. And so the way they term it is it's a whole backward approach. So we start close, you start with putting, we move people back to 25 yards and then 50 and back you go until you're at your full tee box. So I've combined that with Golf 101, and it's a brilliant way to learn the game, have success right away. You know, when we tee you up from 25 yards and we ask you to shoot 36 or better, almost everyone can. And so right away, you're learning the game, you're learning how to score, you're learning the short game, which is critical, as we know. You do not learn shots like Jordan Spieth's, I'm afraid. That's in the Golf 202 program where you hit them straight in the air like that. But it's just a great program. It's easy. And again, people have success right away, and so they get comfortable with the game. And again, I pair people up always so that they always come away with a friend or more. And my groups then continue on, and they go on into the rest of the programming that I make available.
So That's wonderful. And you talk about girls. You know, this is a question I should have asked you earlier. But one of the problems that I find that they don't know where to go after their junior golf programs have ended. You know, and I guess it's, and that sometimes they're not from the same neighborhood. I feel like there's a gap. You know, it's from the junior golf. Now, where do I go?
That's so true. That's an industry challenge, is how do we keep those guys, you know, how do we keep those young women and young men who go to college and, you know, perhaps their playing career may be over. They're not going to go play on the college team or anything, but then they have families and they go to work. And so how do we keep them engaged? And that's a challenge. We're looking at that in the LPGA. We feel in the LPGA that we do cover the whole, you know, for lack of a better term, cradle to grave. You know, we can start you in young girls golf and all the way through as long as you want to play. But it's that middle group there that is still the challenge. How do we engage them? Golf can be, it takes a long time to play a round of golf. And do people with young families have that kind of time, have the money, and so on? So that's something that we all need to collectively get our heads around, how to do a better job at that.
Right. I imagine telling them you don't have to play 18. You know, you can. You know, 9 is fine, and have little push carts for kids, and then have a little PlayStation. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Or childcare. Something I'm thinking about doing early in our season is to do a par 3 tournament. You know, get out and play 9 holes that play from 100 yards and in. And so it's faster and still fun. You're still out on the course and driving the cart and the whole thing, but making it quicker and easier and attractive.
And then as the better you get, the more competitive you feel and you can go out and go get them. And that's the beauty of golf. You can play on any level that you want to play. Yeah. So where's your next stop? Where are you going?
Well, the next stop is the LPGA National Summit and Pro-Am. We're having that in Nashville in early-ish October. So I will be hopping on an airplane for Nashville, and I'm taking a team down. My team has never been to Nashville, so they're really excited to see the town and then to play some golf there. And then we have our national summit. It's a 2-day event, and it's our first in-person event after the pandemic. So we're doing it on a kind of a limited scale. We don't have a lot of people coming in person. We've got a limited amount of room, but kind of our first dipping of the toes back into an in-person. And then we have a bunch of people who are going to be watching the live stream. We're streaming it live. This is something, you know, so many things we learned during these last year and a half or so. How to bring people together virtually. So we're streaming this live, and that's going to be exciting to have our members there being able to see it no matter where they are. And then our Hall of Fame celebration. We're inducting 3 amazing women into our LPGA Hall of Fame. So all of that is happening in October.
Fantastic. You're not going to tell us who they are you?
Yes, I will. Kathy Murphy, Debbie Cruz, and Linda Volstadt. And Kathy Murphy and Debbie Cruz were both extremely involved. They were ground floor architects of the LPGA education program. And I learned from both of them when I was going through that program. Debbie is a PhD up at Arizona State University. And then, of course, Linda Volstadt, who is probably the best coach of all time in women's golf. So the 3 of them are going in together. And what's neat about that is they are great friends of each other. And as the national president, one of the most fun things you get to do is to break good news to people. And I got to call them each and tell them that they were being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And the really neat thing was every single one of them was more happy for the other 2 than they even were for themselves. And so it's just really fun to see them go in together.
That's marvelous. Marvel, Barnard, we have to speak more often. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. She's president of the LPGA Professionals, also dual member LPGA and PGA of America, director of instruction at Haven Golf Course, Green Valley, Arizona. If you're listening, you can find her at marvelbarnardgolf.com, if you're listening. Where did that come from, Danielle? You can also book a lesson, and it's really easy. Book lessons with Marvel, and it's marvol.as.me. You can find her there. Thank you so much again. Aloha. We're going to take us back to the Ryder Cup, and he is in the midst of it. His name is Ron Green. He's with Global Golf Post. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com. Or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Global Golf Post senior writer Ron Green Jr., award-winning golf journalist, including six first-place awards from the Golf Writers Association of America, PGA Tour correspondent, senior writer for Global Golf Post. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. How's the madness at Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits?
Pretty one-sided right now. And with an almost entirely American crowd, it's sort of like a fall block party out there right now with the way the Americans are playing. For fans of autumn, it is fully autumn here at Whistling Straits, where it's sunny and about 70 a day, but the wind's blowing. It's good sweater weather. I mean, it's been great for the Americans so far. They still got to finish it off, but I think they could pretty well, if they just get a split this afternoon, I think, though mathematically not over, I think emotionally it will be over.
It is unbelievable that the score is 9-3. And we have this afternoon four more points there. That takes, if America does what they've been doing, taking three and Europe one, you know, or two, or halves, it's could almost be over. I'm surprised because it's windy. You know, everyone said, well, the windy conditions at Whistling Straits will favor the European players, which tends to be the case. But who expected this?
I don't think anybody expected it quite this lopsided, at least at this point. But I think coming in, everybody sort of conceded the Americans, at least on paper, were probably a stronger team. And the simple fact of the matter, as tends to be the case in Ryder Cups, is which side plays better. And the Americans have played better. I mean, maybe it changes this afternoon, but Rory McIlroy did not play well yesterday. The Europeans have not made putts when they needed to. You know, Poulter was not very good. Westwood hadn't been great. I mean, Garcia and Rahm are terrific. I mean, they're the reason basically the Europeans have 3 points. But the Americans are so good. I think what we were seeing what this weekend is doing is it's sort of shifting the whole Ryder Cup dynamic away from Europe's dominance to potentially setting the Americans up for a really strong run. You know, you look at the average age of the two teams. Americans are 29 years old on average. The Europeans are 35 years old on average. This is, you know, they went back with Westwood. And, I mean, obviously Sergio's playing well. Poulter, older guys. And it's not working out right now. And I think when you look at the Americans, whether it's Tony Finau, whether it's Justin Thomas, who's the obvious emotional leader of this team, Jordan Spieth, who's right there with him, Charles Cantlay, I think the Americans, at least, you know, maybe it's seeing 9-3 on the board right now, but I think they are set up for a really, really good run down the next few years in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, yeah. The Europeans have their work cut out for them. They're going to have to step it up, absolutely. And what does that mean, step it up, for the European squad, just generally speaking?
Well, I think down the line here, I think when you would like to get more out of Rory McIlroy than you have this week, and that happens. But, I mean, Rory has not been great in the Ryder Cup recently. I think, you know, they have some good players, but they need to find those younger players, whether it's Matthew Fitzpatrick. I don't know. I think Victor Hovland is going to be the next anchor of the European team. But I don't know if their roster is deep enough now. They need to find some more guys. I mean, John Rahm is just, when you start with Hovland and Rahm down the line, I mean, they've got points almost built in there. But, you know, you look at guys like Lowry and Hatton, Fleetwood, who just haven't delivered right now. Now, maybe they do down the line, and everybody has, you know, we've seen the Ryder Cup through the years where there are weeks when one team just doesn't have it. And to this point, the Europeans have just, there hadn't been any crackle. There hadn't been any electricity that they've created. They've been playing from the back foot the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul McGinley, who's Ryder Cup captain, winning one for the Europeans a few years ago, he was talking to a couple of us the other day and said the Americans are play on their front foot. And he thought maybe that might work against them if the wind got up the way it has here this week. But in fact, it is they've just kept sort of blasting right on through that wind.
Absolutely. There's no stopping them, and they're happy. That I think that's the biggest difference I see in this team is that they're happy being a team. And that's really good to see.
Absolutely. I think I think what Steve Stricker did with his approach was, in some ways, it's very detailed with plenty of preparation, but almost minimalized the other stuff. He talked that there's not big motivational speakers or videos or all those inspirational things tacked all over the walls with them. It's just like, guys, you know what you got to do. Find your best way to do it. Let's get out there and do it. And you can sense it. I mean, there is an absolute lightness to the American team that we haven't seen at a lot of Ryder Cups.
Yeah, exactly. There is a lightness. And the only one, Justin Thomas has, I think, been disappointed in himself, but he is rallying out of his frustration and his lack of performance. He's rallying his troops, you know, the other guys. And I think that that's a really great way to respond.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's had his moments. He hit that 3-wood in yesterday late for an eagle in one of the late matches that got a half a point. But he's there. I mean, he just beats to that different sort of beat right now in the Ryder Cup. You know, Payne Stewart was famous for that. I've been surprised a little bit. I get the sense Tony Finau is, there's a little bit of that with Tony Finau. I would not have necessarily expected it, but I think you get some of that vibe coming off of him, too. And I think, you know, the Americans have needed it. They have played the Ryder Cup defensively for so long that this week they're playing it aggressively and look over again.
Yeah. And it's fun seeing Tony Finau being so, you know, asking the crowd to a little bit more volume, you know, getting involved. It's great to see him smile and just being in the thick of it. I think a lot of people weren't sure, but he's really feeling that camaraderie, and I think that's the biggest the biggest thing that you can do to win as a team is be a team. And that's what we've accomplished. And I am really excited to see that. Really excited. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it's as simple as wearing those hoodies. You know, maybe that's been the missing...
Yes. If we'd only known about the hoodie.
That's exactly right. I went and looked at them. I thought that's pretty cool. That'd be good to have. Then I looked and saw how much it cost to pay for one of those cashmere hoodies. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'll let them wear them and I'll just admire them from a distance.
All right. You have to share. How much are they?
I think they're $285.
Oh, yes. We'll just look at them and say, oh, those are nice.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I love the shoes. The shoes that Steve Stricker gave to the whole team. And the wives got the shoes and the guys got the shoes. How much? Those must have been a pretty penny. And I'm sure.
I didn't see those in the merchandise yet, though I did see official U.S. men's team underwear, which might be a little more merchandising than we need.
Underwear! Well, maybe we could afford one pair of those, but then how do you show them off? You know, there's
exactly.
Well, this is great. I thank you. Are you going out? Who have you been following?
I walked out a good bit yesterday and just sort of did my best to pick my spots. If you've been to Whistling Straits or if you haven't been to Whistling Straits, it's difficult to describe how hilly it is and how severe the hills are, and getting around, you know, with four groups on the golf course and 45,000 people or whatever around, it's hard to get anywhere fast. But I found a couple spots where I could just stand on hillsides and watch the golf in front of me, and I'm going to do the same this afternoon. I might go out and watch Poulter and McIlroy play DJ and Morikawa in the last match. That looks like a really good one. Again, it's as good as it is for the Americans up 6 points right now, it would be more fun, I think, in a lot of ways, if it was close and every swing mattered the way it usually does in the Ryder Cup. But at this point, it doesn't look like the Americans make many bad swings.
Yeah. And as you said, I hope it does get closer so there's a contest. You know, otherwise, it's great for the crowd. You know, they're going nuts because they're having such a good time watching their team win. Thank you, Ron Green, Jr., award-winning golf journalist for Global Golf Post. I really appreciate you taking the time out and being on the show.
Thanks. Enjoyed it. And look forward to talking to you soon. Or if I don't see you soon, hopefully at Kapalua in January.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk soon before Kapalua. Excellent.
All right.
Century Tournament of Champions coming up. Michael Patrick Shields is coming up. Travel writer, traveltattler.com, host Michigan's Big Show. And he can tell us just how hilly Whistling Straits is because he played Whistling Straits not that long ago. We'll be back with Michael Patrick Shields after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
It is time to win. Bridgestone Golf Balls, courtesy Tampa Pro Shop. Yep. Bridgestone Golf Balls, ninth caller. That's all you got to do. 808-545-1111. And don't be disappointed if the line is busy. Just call back. We have one line open right now. 808-545-1111.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few $100s. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him. Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. That's Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. Our listeners are consumers too.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, travel writer, host, Michigan's Big Show, collaborator and author with Ben Wright. Welcome into the clubhouse, Michael Patrick Shields.
Aloha and happy Ryder Cup weekend.
Happy Ryder Cup it is. Are you on the golf course?
I am on the golf course, but I'm on a course that's going to be of better interest to you. By total irony, I am in southern Utah in the greater Zion area, and this is where the triathlon, the Ironman, is going to be in May.
Yes. You are calling in from Ledges Golf Club, Sand Hollow Resort in St. George, Utah, in the greater Zion National Park area. That is awesome, and it will be where because, you know, it's been difficult with lots of things. Mainly COVID.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's bittersweet, you know. I mean, I'm looking around here, and there's actually, believe it or not, lava, black lava. And so there'll be some similarities to Kona when they come through here. But losing it for the Big Island for this year anyway, probably very disappointing.
Oh, it is very disappointing. It's just, you know, the accommodations are just so difficult to provide safely, so it just had to be, and they'll be back. So it's going to be great that the continuing give those people who are itching to get out and doing that Ironman thing. You have to tell us a little bit about Whistling Straits. I think you were listening to my conversation with Ron about. He said, "I can't tell you how hilly this is. I can't, you know, I can't really describe it." So is it a real workout? Are you still there, Michael Patrick? I think I've lost Michael Patrick.
No, I'm sorry. It's a real luxury resort that you can put your feet up, and you're going to need to after you play Whistling Straits and the Straits course and the Irish course. And then don't forget, you know, they've got the Black Wolf Run courses.
Yes.
Where the U.S. Women's Open was held, and that's all, although they're not in the same spot, they're all in the same sort of resort area. And then because it's Kohler that created this resort, they have the Kohler Water Spa. And you can imagine every water treatment, every, you know, hot tub, every jacuzzi, every swimming pool, every pulsating thing that you want to put on your sore body after you go around that course.
Yes.
And is there. And you're looking at beautiful Lake Michigan, and you see these guys have gotten really nice weather. It's not always that way. So it's very challenging target golf that some people refer to as link style golf, but it's its own damn thing is the bottom line.
Well, you and Larry Olmsted had a great time there, I bet, afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky enough to go two times in the last year to have a look. I was there last year on the date, ironically, that the Ryder Cup was going to be held. And it's amazing. I don't know if you feel this way, but it seems like there's a weird time warp thing, because at that time when I stood there on what would have been Ryder Cup week, it felt weird, and I said, well, they're going to have it next year. That seems like a million miles, and here it is right upon us right now. And for those of you who want to go there, you know, this is a place that you can play, and the Golf Digest list just came out with the top 100 you can play, and America's Dairyland, Wisconsin, is is, you know, with Michigan, the top two states on the list that have options for you, even beyond the Kohler Resort with Erin Hills, where they had the U.S. Open. Sand Valley has two fantastic, beautiful, totally unique link-style courses, true link-style courses, and Geneva Lakes and Geneva National also right there, too. So if you're looking for a golf trip that you hadn't thought about before, you thought about Hilton Head and you thought about Florida and you probably thought about, you know, some other spots, the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail and all that sort of thing, Wisconsin is where it's at, and you can see why. I mean, they've had so many majors now there in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I look at that, and I just want to sit on a bluff and look at the lake and feel it all and play some golf and take my time because I'd want to relax and rest after a couple of holes.
Yeah, and for any of those people who are coming to the Ironman here in May, whether they're participating or not, you've got 13 golf courses in this area with all that red rock. And if you've ever watched Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, that scene where Paul Newman takes a bath is right here. It'll be along the Ironman Trail. And ironically, you know, you might say, wait a minute, you're in southern Utah in the greater Zion region. Where do they swim for the triathlon? They actually have a reservoir, and it's so crystal clear that people dive in it, and they have sunk a Cessna and, you know, vehicles, and there's even, for whatever reason, there's a toilet at the bottom. And what? If you look in social media, you'll see pictures of people who go dive down there, sit on the toilet, get their picture taken underwater, and post it. I mean, isn't that cool?
Yes. Yes, Michael Patrick, that's very cool. You amaze me every time because you are so astute, and you find ways. I had no idea you were going to talk about, you know, the triathlon. I had no idea. You're amazing. I love you.
Fate steps in. I mean, I wish it were on Kona, and I wish I were going to be there too. But when you realize too that there's actual lava rock here,
yes.
it's just a total mind bender. And so it's fun to be here. Kyle Chappell is the head professional at the Ledges. There are plenty of other options too here in southern Utah and other places, resorts all around here that you can visit. And you know, so I hope you'll come here. And if you get to Wisconsin too, I mean, there are different ways to get there. From Michigan, you can take a ferry. If you fly into Milwaukee, that's your closest option. That's about 45 minutes from the resort. And if you get lucky, you'll see Herb Kohler on property and the Kohler Plumbing headquarters right across the street. It's sort of like seeing the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. It's a town that was built for the industry, and the resort amenities they've created are out of this world.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you've got to get back to your game, right? You're in the middle of a game? Are you in the middle of a game?
It's journalism. I mean, it's research. But to think of all the places I've been lucky to talk to you from around the world on days that are significant and important, and they all link back to you. You are like Herb Kohler. You have your own orbit, baby.
I need to ask you something.
Did
you? I can't. I'll get all weepy. I wanted to have you talk about Ben Wright. Should we do this at another time?
We can. His memorial service is going to be at the golf course he designed in Cliffs Valley. That'll be October 30th. It's a Saturday, in fact.
Okay.
At 2:30 Eastern time. So, I could call you right before the service there. But I do want to say, if you're a Twitter person, Peter Costas, who used to be with the CBS golf team, the analyst there, he put out a very interesting tweet today, and he was remembering being at the War at the Shore down there in Kiowa at the Ryder Cup. And Ben Wright said something to him. You know, Peter would have been very young at the time. Ben Wright said, "You've got to give me some time to tell some real Ryder Cup stories on the air." He says, "This isn't the Quad Cities Classic," or something like that. And so Peter Costas was bemoaning yet again. Apparently he was watching the coverage and saying, you know, we've got nothing but statistics and yardages, and we need to have some storytelling. And we know Ben Wright at CBS was the master of storytelling because he was an accomplished writer and golfer from the United Kingdom, from Britain. And he passed away a few weeks ago. And as you mentioned, was a father figure to me. And so I think about him all the time, and I'll see him, well, his spirit anyway, at the memorial service in late October. That's weird to say that he won't be there. I just slipped. Did you hear me say that?
Yes.
Wow. I said, I'll see him, but I'll feel him.
I totally understand. Here it is. Peter Costas in 91 at Kiowa, the late, great Ben Wright, working the USA Network show with me on Friday, told the NBC producer, this is not the USF&G Classic. Give me time to tell proper Ryder Cup stories. And 30 years later, we are all stats and no stories. That's perfectly said. We need more stories. Yeah. Thank you, Ben. And I just retweeted that. Thank you, Michael Patrick Shields, for being with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
How sweet. And you're a true Iron Woman.
And we'll talk on October 30th, if not sooner. Thank you.
It's a deal. God bless you. Mahalo, aloha, and go USA.
Go USA. Go, well, if they went any further, it'd be a total wipeout. It's almost that. We want them to have a little bit of, contention.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
Singles. Don't forget.
This is true. All right. I'll let you go. Thank you for being on the show.
Mahalo.
Aloha. All right. We are KORLYNI, Honolulu.
The golf club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com. Or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
I absolutely love this description of Whistling Straits. Pete Dye transformed a dead, flat, abandoned Army air base along a 2-mile stretch of Lake Michigan into an imitation Ballybunion at Whistling Straits, peppering his rugged fairways and windswept greens with 1,012, at last count, bunkers. There are no rakes at Whistling Straits, in keeping with the notion that this is a transplanted Irish lynx. It has too much rub of the green for the comfort levels of many tour pros, 24 of whom are tackling it now at Ryder Cup. Okay, they're all there. They're all doing their thing at Ryder Cup. Now, we are going to be talking shortly with Matt Ginella, I believe, will be calling in. And Matt Ginella, co-creator of FirePitCollective.com, he does journeys with Matt Ginella for Golf Digest and Golf Channel. And he is at the Pure Championship, and that's also first tee. And KJ Choi, Alex Chechka, Doug Barron, Kevin Sutherland, Cameron Beckman, those are all the guys that are, you know, actually playing for points and money. And do we have him now? Oh, yes, we have Matt. Welcome into the clubhouse, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Danielle. How are you?
I apologize. I gave Matt the wrong time. He called in an hour ago. And I thank you so much for being so flexible. You got to play with our friend Dean Wilson yesterday.
I did, yes. Dean Wilson is Monday qualified into this event, Pure First Tee Championship. They play Pebble and Spyglass, and then he Monday qualified and got in, and got the chance to play with him and my other partner Dan Rose, who is actually the president of Nenea, and then one of the first tee kids, a kid named Victor, who was an amazing display of golf watching both Dean and Victor play Pebble Beach. So Dan Rose and I contributed a little, not much, but it worked out in the end.
Isn't that cool that you didn't contribute as much as how old is this young person?
17 years old. I mean, I don't know if you know the context of this tournament, but a little over 20 years ago, they basically take the best of first tee kids from now, like all over the world. I played with one kid who came over from Morocco. A kid named Malik came from Morocco. As they've developed first tee programs in Morocco, and he got to play this week. And I mean, this is life changing situations for these kids. They've earned this spot by being, you know, not only good at golf but great people, representing the nine core values and all that first tee does. And they get to play with the Champions Tour players and these titans of industry, and they get to play Pebble Beach and Spyglass. So, I mean, I've always said that of all the things I've ever covered, I've ever done in the game of golf, this one is one of the top three of sort of the grow the game efforts and the spirit of the right thing. You watch Champions Tour players interact with these kids, and the kids sort of bringing the kid out in the Champions Tour players. And it's really special. And I think it kind of lives in the shadow right now because of scheduling of both the President's Cup and Ryder Cup, but eventually they're going to get it out of that schedule slot so that I think it's going to get more of its own due.
It's such an aspirational moment for the children. And I say that because a parent with a 17-year-old, that's still your kid.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, Danielle, I mean, my first time playing Pebble was after I graduated high school. My father gave me a graduation gift of playing Pebble, Spyglass, in Spanish Bay. And I mean, I remember it to this day very, very vividly. But I watched these kids at 17 years old, and the way they compose themselves, the way they perform inside the ropes, with Champions Tour players, with all the other stuff that's going on. I mean, I was not that polished and composed at 17. I don't know, I don't know about you, but I wasn't. And it's just really, it's inspirational on so many levels to watch them, be teenagers. And I think to myself, I think the future is in a good place when you surround yourself with kids like this.
Yes, yes. They know how to be polite, look you in the eye, say hello. Those are all the things First Tee teaches.
Yeah, and I mean, it's even so much. Yeah, that's the baseline stuff.
Yes.
It's the firm handshake. It's the hat off after the round. It's just the respect in general, sort of. And the polish, again, is the way I keep saying it. But then it's so much beyond that. You find out, you ask them questions, you find out what they're doing in their communities and for other kids younger than them, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is, it's like the Top Gun of first tee kids. And they do it every year, year after year. And I've stayed in touch with a lot of these kids that I've met over the years, and they've gone on to do, they're going on to do great things, no shock.
Wow. That's, now Morocco, tell us, I know the, is it the king of Morocco who is really growing the game of golf in his country?
Well, the king, the former king, King Hassan II, he passed away, and his son, his oldest son, obviously became king. And then the second son, Prince Moulay Rashid, is the president of the Golf Federation. He is the big golfer of the family. And he, and you know, he's taken upon himself, going back to his relationship. He grew up with, like, Claude Harmon III as Butch Harmon was over. And, the you know, Claude Harmon and Billy Casper used to come over and give lessons to King Hassan. And so there's this lineage of golf, and the prince has taken it upon himself to really try to grow the game of golf in Morocco. And in doing so, over the course of the last 10 years, they've developed 5 first-tee programs in Morocco. And, you know, they're trying to kind of grow not only the game in general, but also get a representative, a face of Moroccan golf that can go on to become a tour player, a major champion winner. You know, that's their goal, in addition to sort of getting kids into the game. So they're doing it at a grassroots level and a level. And so as a byproduct of all that they've invested in the game of golf, here comes Malik out to the first tee and playing in this event. So we're going to actually have a feature on Malik coming up on the firepitcollective.com out of all of this, in addition to some other stuff that we're doing this week. It's an endless supply of good narratives out here, as you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Fire Pit Collective, firepitcollective.com. That's where you find Matt Janella now. But I opened up a Golf Digest, and I went, wait a second, or I clicked on a Golf Digest. Was it a magazine or online? And there was you doing your Ireland. I know you'd gone to Ireland, but and you're back with Golf Digest. So I said, are you with Golf Digest now? And you said, yes, and I'm with Golf Channel. So you're producing content for them.
Yeah, I mean, I left the Golf Channel about a year and a half ago. I set up my own production company. We partnered with people like Alan Shipnuck. We hired Ryan French, Monday Q Info on Twitter, and Laz Versailles, Colt Nedler, Alex Apegi is another one of our partners. We have Aaron Adkin. We've developed a team of content creators in various verticals, and you know, we are, you know, distributing that content through GolfDigest.com, Discovery Media, Golf Channel. We're talking to a lot of Caddy Network we've partnered with. So gone are the days of, like, leaning on just traditional linear television or, you know, magazines or just websites. I think for us, there's a market for content, for good stories. And we subscribe to kind of a read, watch, and listen model in which we're finding good stories and we're giving them to you in a way where you can read them, you can watch them in video, or you can listen to them in podcasts. And that's the model we're subscribing to, and it seems to be working. We couldn't be more busy. So, and you can find anything and everything we do on firepitcollective.com in addition to distribution through those other outlets.
That's fantastic. So everything you do is at firepitcollective.com. And is there a cost?
Right now, there is no subscription model. So everything you're going to find on there is free, obviously. And then at some point, we'll create a paywall in which subscribers will get access to more. You know, like, you know, I did the history of building Band and Dunes in a 2-part podcast. Well, those were, like, let's say those were 2 40-45 minute podcasts. But I did probably, you know, 11 hours worth of interviews in reporting that story. Well, if you want the full interview with Mike Kaiser, the full interview with Bill Coore, the full interview with Ben Crenshaw, we would make that available behind a paywall. So we're creating stuff that's going to be, you know, just you, if you want all of it, well, that's where you're going to find it behind a paywall. So,
yeah.
So that's the
That's great. So at the First Tee Pure Championship, who are you playing with today, or who did you play with today?
I'm about to tee off at Spyglass with Carlos Franco and keep my partner Dan Rose, and then we'll have another new junior, Carlos Franco's junior, we'll meet on the first tee. So another four-person team out there. We need to have a big day out here, Danielle, so send positive vibes. We need to go really low at Spyglass, which is not going to be easy, but keep hope alive.
Yeah, we're keeping hope alive. Do you have enough time to talk about Spyglass versus Pebble Beach?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's really like apples and oranges, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yes, I'm happy to break it down.
Yeah, break it down a little bit for us, because, you know, there's those of us who don't have $600 to play around Pebble, but we'd like to virtually play it as you describe. And Spyglass, you know, isn't there a third course, Monterey?
Well, you know, during AT&T, they play Monterey Peninsula, and and Spanish Bay is in, you know, the mix here, and Poppy Hills has been played at this particular tournament over the last few years, but they recently made the change to Spyglass. So it's Pebble and Spyglass.
Got it.
And again, it's you know, Spyglass is probably Robert Trent Jones Sr.'s, one of his best designs, his kind of his crown jewel of his portfolio, or at least one of them. And I mean, it's a beast. I mean, it is. It's like I said. It's the way you remind yourself that you're just not good at golf. Just go play Spyglass, because the you know, it's a double diamond. The degree of difficulty is just so extreme that it's like, buckle up. You're probably going to shoot, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 over your handicap. I mean, that's just that's the way it is. It's no joke. So you kind of settle in. It's beautiful. The first six holes are sort of, you get some sense of the water, and then you go into the woods here, and it's a pretty magical walk, and use lower expectations and do the best you can. At Pebble Beach, that's like old, you know, home of golf, the old course of St. Andrews. It's its own special category of experience. You know, the golf course is amazing, but it's also, when you have benign conditions, it's gettable. You can actually shoot a score at Pebble Beach. The greens are small. And the biggest challenge for people who rock up and sort of play it either for the first time or, on rare occasions, is battling the distractions of the visuals going on around you. I mean, from 4 to 10 is arguably one of the greatest walks in all of golf all over the world. And then you come back out to the water as you get to 17 and 18, which, you know, 18 might be one of the most storied finishing holes in golf. So, I mean, it's just different. And I, you know, every time I play, get the opportunity to play Pebble Beach, I don't take it for granted. I think to myself, this might be the last time. So you enjoy every step, regardless of how you're actually playing. You hope you hit a few memorable shots or have a decent score, but at the end of the day, does it really matter? You just played Pebble Beach.
Wow. I want to go to Spyglass. Do they allow you to walk the course?
I think they do. I think you can kind of scoot around out there. There's some trails, and you know, 17 Mile Drive actually rolls through Spyglass. Again, if you go hole by hole, one could argue that if you were just doing a course evaluation, Spyglass might actually be a better golf course, so to speak. But, you know, when you throw in experience and visuals and the spirituality of, like, walking along that coastline and that stretch from 4 to 10, I mean, you put it up against anything, including Cypress Point, which is another neighbor out here on the peninsula. So I always say that it's hard to pick between those two. If you're playing Cypress, you're like, that's it. This one's best. This is the best. And you play Pebble, and you're like, no, this is the best. It goes that way.
You know, you ask a golf course architect which course is his favorite course, and he'll say, I can't say which one's my favorite course, because they're all my favorite courses. So, I get it. It's so much fun. I miss you. You're so busy. I'm so glad you took the time and had the time to, be on the show. And you know, anytime Saturday... I just love talking with you. You have so much information, Machinella. You are a storyteller, and I'm so glad you have firepitcollective.com to be able to free your mind up and just pursue the different avenues and have a team working with the same kind of vision. It's awesome. Thank you for creating a miracle place.
Well, it's a dream come true, obviously, and to be able to work with the talented group of people that we're working with right now, it literally does kind of free us up to do what we want to do and to tell the stories we want to tell. And And that's what we'll continue to do until someone tells us to stop. But thanks as always to you, for your time and for your support, and hope to connect with you again real soon.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, anything on Ryder Cup you want to say?
Blowout. I mean, good gracious. You know, I think you know, Team Euro with the grizzled veterans that they have are maybe too grizzled. You know, like at the end of the day, Rahm and Sergio can't get 14 points alone. So USA, good for them. They put aside whatever the stuff was between Brooks and Bryson, and you know they're playing for their country and they're playing for their captain, and it's no shock. It's a talented team of people who know how to play the game of golf. So I think we go into every Ryder Cup actually expecting, 9-3 through three sessions. I mean, that's the way it looks like on paper in this particular year. It's actually playing out that way. So good for them.
Yeah, and they look like they're having a good time being a team. It's marvelous.
Yeah, what a concept.
What a concept. Matt Janella, again, co-creator, firepitcollective.com. Thanks for being on the show. Aloha.
Take care, Danielle. Yeah, aloha, my friends, and to all my friends in Hawaii. Take care. Talk soon.
Talk soon. And all of our energy goes to Matt to have a great time at Spyglass and have a low score and do whatever it is he's got to do to be where he needs to be in this Pure Championship first tee contest. I want to thank our sponsors who are just wonderful for being with us. MD Restoration, flood or fire, I hope it's not near anyone's future. And we hear about house fires all the time, and it's just, oh my God. And you'll need somebody to help you put things back in order if it's possible. Floods, water coming in the house, everything is, it can happen. A break in a pipe above you, or on the side of you. You just never know. So MD Restoration, that's what they do. They come in, they help you with the restoration. And that includes, of course, taking care of making sure mold doesn't happen with the fans and other things that they have. And they come in, swoop in with trucks and come in with all these fans, and they just really know what to do. And at any time of the day or night, they're there. If disaster strikes your home, your office, call MD Restoration, licensed contractors. So not only will they help you make sure nothing grows in the walls, they'll also help you restore everything, put it back to the way it was before the disaster struck. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island store. They've moved, they are open, and it is fabulous because they're not there anymore. No, they're on Alakava. And Aloha Power Equipment, their new mega store, is right across from Home Depot's Evile parking structure. This is a soft opening, but you'll find all of the Aloha Power equipment you've come to expect to find. The riding mowers. I didn't know they made robotic mowers. That's for like hillsides, so you don't have to sit on a mower. The robot does it. Chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, and of course a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment, they have it all. The Waipahu store, yes, the Waipahu store is open. And the new Aloha Power Equipment mega store on Alakava on the Eva side of the street. They're right across from Home Depot's parking structure. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. That's where you can get an idea how you can beautify your home, protect your home from the elements and from others. Keep loved ones safe. Get a new Rainer garage door. Raised panel, recessed panel, garage house designs, flush styling, unmatched strength and durability, and quiet. Yes. Have a new garage door installed, a Rainer overhead door. The number is 808-676-DOOR. It's easy, right? 808-676-3667. 808-676-DOOR. Tell them the golf club sent you. HawaiiDoor.com. We'll explain all the raised panel and recessed panel and all those things. Sue's Electric, they've been in the business for 40 years, and they are looking for a few good electricians. They're busy. Call 842-1944, extension 23. That's 842-1944, extension 23. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. You can always find us at radiogolfclub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is the Golf Club. Congratulations, you won. That is so exciting.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.